Hello there. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. I'm Reed Lessing, and we have the delight to look at Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. And this is a critical chapter in the Old Testament, and certainly in the book of Exodus. It communicates to us all about proper worship, and that's why the context is so important. Essentially, what we have in chapters 25 through 31 would be Yahweh's rubrics concerning the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, or the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. It's also called a Mikdash, a sanctuary. And then we have the golden calf apostasy. Yahweh renews the covenant in chapters 33 and 34, and then really 35 through 40 would be the actual building of the tabernacle. So smack dab in the middle of all of this worship would be this pivotal pericope. And I'm going to entitle it, We Become What We Worship, Either for Ruin or for Restoration. And that might even be a sermon title. So let's dive into this. It's all about worship and who you worship has a direct impact on who you are. So verse 7, we have a PL, imperfect, wow, consecutive from devar, which is a PL-based verb. There's really no difference between this and amar. So Yahweh said to Moses, lek raid. So two imperatives, both are call imperatives. The first one is from Halak, the second from Yarad. This is a construction that is called ascendaton, which means there's no vav or conjunction between the two imperatives. This is quite infrequent in the Hebrew Bible, thus noting a sense of urgency and intensity. Walk, go down. Is the command, because what? Ki, Shekat Amaka. So here we have a PL from Shekat, a same verb used in Genesis chapter 6 to define Yahweh's destruction of most of humanity and the animal life by means of the Noahic flood. So a strong word. Your people, now this is going to be an ongoing refrain, your people have destroyed themselves. No longer my people, which is what we have in Exodus 6, verse 7, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. When Yahweh switches from my people to your people, as he does classically in Hosea chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 6, this is an indication that the Sinaitic covenant is broken. Sinai can be broken. Exodus 19, verse 5 makes that very clear. If you will listen to my voice and keep my commandments, then you will be for me a segula, a prized, priceless possession. So the Sinaitic covenant can be broken. The patriarchal covenant cannot be broken. These are critical theological ideas to understanding what's going on here. Because later in verse 13, Moses won't appeal to the Sinaitic covenant. He'll appeal to the patriarchal covenant because that's unconditional, as we have it narrated in chapter 15 of Genesis and stated as a Berit Olam in Genesis chapter 17. So your people, whom, and here's a hifel of Halah, you caused to go up, May Eretz Mitzrayim, from the land of Egypt. So Yahweh is disowning Israel. The only way the Sinaitic covenant is broken is through idolatry, the breaking of the first commandment. And then we have verse 8, Saru Maher. Sewer means to turn aside. They turned aside, call, perfect, third common, plural. And here we have the adverb quickly. And this is very important to understand that quickly is going to be a description of how cattle turn aside. So the people have become what they worship. They've become like cattle because they turn aside quickly, mihaderek, from the way. The way, this is important in almost every biblical book. Yahweh has a way. He makes a way. Climactically, Yahweh is the way and the truth and the life incarnated in Jesus. Yahweh's ways are not our ways, Isaiah chapter 55. So the way that they've quickly turned aside from is the way of life. The way articulated in the first commandment, they have worshiped other gods, and that's the way of life, to stick closely to Yahweh. But they've turned quickly from that way, which you commanded them. They made for themselves Egel Ma Seka, a calf molten. And of course, this is narrated for us earlier in chapter 32 of Exodus. And they worship. This is the Hishtafel stem from Kavah. So Kavah adds a prefix shin and tau to be a Hishtafel, coming some 123 times in the Hebrew Bible, quite often translated worship. And they worshiped it, and they sacrificed to it, and they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, whom they brought you up from the land of Egypt." And Yahweh said to Moses, "I've seen Ha'am Hazeh." So again, a clear indication that Sinai is broken. As I mentioned earlier, Isaiah 6, verse 9, works in a similar way, where Isaiah is told, "Go and tell Ha'am Hazeh, this people." Isaiah 29:13, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And as I said in Hosea chapter 1, the third little child is called Lo Ami, not my people. So this people is a what? Am Kesha Oraf. I'm sorry, Orefhu. This is a people with a here's the adjective, Kesha, stiff, and Oref is the neck. It is a nominal phrase here. Well, again, we become what we worship for ruin or for restoration. And Israel has become like the calf they've made and bowed down to. They've turned quickly away in verse 8. And in verse 9, they have a stiff neck. With one exception in Proverbs chapter 26, when stiff neck comes in the rest of the Bible, it is always in connection with idolatry. They've become like cattle that are stubborn and stiff necked. A corresponding theological commentary on this would come in Psalm 115, and we are looking at verse 8. Like them, they become the ones making them, literally. In the context of idolatry, Psalm 115, verse 8, it clearly says, we become what we worship. And Israel has become like a golden calf, stubborn, stiff-necked, lifeless, dead. Verse 10, Ve'ata, and now. So here's the point of the whole thing. A Hifil imperative of nuke. I have Isaiah on the brain. Yahweh is telling Moses, rest from me. In other words, leave me alone. Don't intercede. See, Yahweh does this with Jeremiah several times because Yahweh has a soft heart. He knows if someone intercedes that he will change from judgment to grace, and Yahweh doesn't want to do that. So he says, leave me alone. Hanukkah Li, so that my nose literally may burn. This is an adversative bath against them. And here is a PL from Kalam, and I will finish them, and I will make you Lagoy Gadol, a great nation, which is exactly what we have in terms of God's promise to Avram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. So he's going to start all over. But Moses became sick, literally. This appeal from Kalah is normally understood as sick in verse 13, often understood as interceded. But I like the idea that he's physically moved. He can't imagine Yahweh doing this to Israel, and he doesn't want to start over with just him. So most of the versions translate Vaikal as intercede. Moses is the consummate interceder and insister and go-between in the Hebrew Bible, a great foreshadowing of Jesus who intercedes for us, Paul tells us in Romans 8. And he does that for those who are spiking him to the cross in Luke chapter 23, and he said, Elegan, that's an inceptive imperfect. He said over and over again, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is what Moses is doing before the face of Yahweh his God. And he said, and he's got several arguments here. So the first argument is based upon Yahweh's reputation. Why, Yahweh, does your nose burn against your people? See, Moses is reminding Yahweh of his gospel promises, whom you caused to go forth, Hifil of Yetzah, from the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand. So first of all, he reminds Yahweh of his reputation and the promises he made to his people. They're your people. You brought them out. You have a commitment to these folks. Verse 12, then he brings in the Egyptians. Why, Lama Yomaru Mitzrayim Lamor Bera'ah. So why should the Egyptian guy saying, for evil he caused them to go forth, La Harog, a call infinitive construct from Harog, to slay them, O Tom, in mountains, literally, and to finish them, there it is, Kala again, this time, PL infinitive construct with a third masculine plural suffix, to finish them from upon the face of the soil. So he says, they're your people, and what would Egypt say? Because you see, Egypt was to be a witness of Yahweh's care, compassion for Israel. So now, as the insister par excellence, Shuv, he commands Yahweh. So call imperative, masculine singular, return, and may karon apekah, from the heat of your nose. And here it is, one of the five most important words in the Hebrew Bible. Vehinarkein. This is a nifal imperative from Nakam. It means this, to change your course of action based upon compassion. Relent in most of the versions doesn't really get at this. It's because Yahweh's a compassionate God that Moses has the gall to command him to relent, to change from law to gospel, from the evil toward your people. Verse 13, the third imperative. So the first one is Shuv. Then the next one is Vehinakim, and then Zakor, call imperative, masculine singular. Notice, huge idea, notice that Moses does not appeal to the Sinaitic covenant. And that was just cut, right? Ratified in chapter 24 of Exodus. No, he goes back to the patriarchal covenant because, as I said earlier, that's a berit olam, an everlasting covenant. Remember Abraham, Avraham, Le'Yitzchak, Ule Yisrael, when Yahweh's nostrils are heated, don't mention Jacob. The heel, the liar, the trickster, the deceiver. Rather mention his baptized name, his new name that he gets in Genesis chapter 32 at the river Jabbok. Israel. See, so Moses is holding up Yahweh's promises to the patriarchs. Who are they? Your servants, right? Your servants, whom you swore to them by yourself. And you said to them, I will multiply your offspring like the stars of the heavens and all the earth and all this earth, I will give to your offspring and they will inherit it, le'olam, forever. There's no it on ve na kalu, but that's certainly implied. In the versions, Moses is saying, God, remember you're a gospel God. Remember what you swore to the fathers. Remember that these are their seed and they're to be like the stars of the heaven and all the land which I spoke, I will give to your seed. And they will inherit it forever. And what does Yahweh do? Yahweh does what Yahweh always does when met with an insister and intercessor. He nakams in the Niphal. He changes his course of action. He moves from judgment to grace based upon his great compassion for his people. So there it is, Nakam and the Niphal, Ve'yeh Nakem, Yahweh Al Ha-Ra'ah, Asher Deber Lasot Le'amo. And Yahweh, the great God of compassion, relented because of compassion concerning the evil which he spoke to do to his people. Well, what does all this mean? It means that we become what we worship. Whether it's a golden calf or a job or success or money or sex or a ministry, we all have idols. And usually idols are not evil in and of themselves. We move idols from penultimate gifts to ultimate demands. We take what is attractive and we begin to adore that. And then we have fallen into idolatry and we've broken the Sinaitic covenant. We break the first commandment and our lives become impersonal because we're not worshiping a person. We're worshiping a concept, an idea. And thank God we have the intercessor who stands between Yahweh's wrath and invokes his gospel promises as he shows the Father the five wounds of Calvary. And then we're restored and we worship this God of compassion. We worship this God of keeping promises and we become like that. We become compassionate and gracious and committed to Yahweh's truth. So thank you for joining us, and God's blessings as you teach and preach this marvelous word from the book of Exodus.